If you listen closely, I'm a little stuffy today, because I'm always stuffy. The Tong family is plagued by allergies, and if it seems to you that your symptoms are getting worse, you are not imagining it. A number of studies have found more of us suffer with allergies, and a new paper indicates pollen season has gotten longer, in large part because of climate change. William Anderegg is lead author of the paper. He's a biologist at the University of Utah, and he joins us now. William, hello.
Hello.
So you found that pollen seasons are 10 days longer than a generation ago in this modern era of climate change. How'd you find that?
Well, we looked at these long-term pollen stations. These are stations across the country and a lot of cities that every couple times a week during pollen seasons, they measure the amount of pollen in the air.
And I have to jump in, sorry, and say this is my favorite part of the study, that there are people who are known as pollen counters.
Yes, that's right. You know, measuring pollen is a very labor-intensive process. Huh. And a lot of these stations are run by allergy clinics, and a lot of the pollen counters are actually trained volunteers. And it's really an incredible network, and it's also something that actually we need a lot more of in the coming years, because we don't pay nearly enough attention to pollen among other airborne pollutants.
And with these counters, you could just compare the counts from today to 1990 or so, and then you're just looking at differences?
Yeah, that's right. We, for about 60 of these long-term pollen monitoring stations, we could actually look at pollen count over time and actually see in many, many places very strong trends that pollen seasons are starting earlier, they're getting longer, and they have about 20% more pollen in the air on average as well.
So put together, what does this mean for sufferers like me and most of my family and people who, you know, really have medical conditions associated with it?
This is generally pretty bad news. It means that all of us are being exposed to a lot more pollen than we were 30 years ago. And we know that pollen has all of these huge respiratory health effects on millions of Americans.
There will be people, kind of winners and losers here. Some people who will go to the ER more often, some children whose school performance may actually get worse because of this.
We tend to think a lot about pollen in terms of allergies, but there's a whole range of impacts. And actually, there's plenty of impacts on kids and how well they do in school. And there's other work looking at economic impacts and missed days at work, because when you're suffering from these diseases, it's very hard to focus in school and do well on tests if you're kids, or go to work and perform well if you're an adult.
Okay. And I want to ask you about the link to climate change. There is 20% more pollen in North America, according to your paper, than a generation ago. That doesn't necessarily mean the cause is climate change, right? Could there be other things going on here?
A central goal in our study was to try to actually tackle how much of those trends can we link to climate change. There are plenty of other things that have changed, changes in land use and urban vegetation, and we looked at a few of those as well. But what we were able to do in this study was make a really strong connection between these pollen levels and the temperatures that are in these cities over time. And what we found was that a huge amount of the change in pollen season length could be directly linked to human-caused climate change, and a more modest amount to the amount of pollen in the air.
And I know this is getting into the weeds here, but how do you draw this connection? I gather this falls in the basket of climate change attribution. Is that right?
That's right. And I think of it a little bit almost as CSI Planet Earth, or, you know, you're looking for a set of connections or fingerprints that really link an impact, like, let's say, pollen in the air, to a climate driver, let's say spring temperature. And once you have that link, then you can go to these computer models of Earth's climate and ask, how much pollen do we expect to be in the air today with climate change? And then we can use these computer models and ask, how much pollen would we expect in a hypothetical world where there was not human-caused climate change?
Oh,
and the difference between those two worlds gives you a sense of how much climate change has driven a change in pollen.
Finally, I just want to come back to your thoughts on what do we do about it?
First and foremost, you know, that climate change isn't something in distant countries or decades in the future. It's here now and in every breath we take in the spring. So anything we can do to slow the pace of climate change is going to help out on the pollen side of things. The second category, I think, is really trying to minimize the exposure and the harm. And you might think of things like early warning systems, where we develop systems that warn folks, hey, pollen is about to get really bad this week. And then the final group of things is really trying to design our living spaces to try to minimize some pollen exposure as well. And so this is thinking about what types of plant species we want to plant in our cities and towns and trying to minimize the amount of pollen around where a lot of people live.
And that's William Anderegg, biologist at the University of Utah and lead author of a new paper on climate change and pollen in our lives. William, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.